Welcome to the New Wine Podcast. My name is J. Matthew Barnes. The goal of New Wine is simply this: to talk about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the real world. This podcast is number 10, and here's the question we'll try to answer this time. What role can and should small groups play in the life of someone trying to live on mission with Jesus? But before we answer that question, we need to understand our context a little bit. What are things like in America for followers of Jesus? How many people live lives impacted by the good news of Jesus and His kingdom? What is the real world out there really like? Here's the truth, and it's not so easy to hear. 1/4 of Americans are explicitly not Christians. They're adherents of other religions, or atheists, or agnostics. And then, according to George Barna and his research group, 2/3 of Americans are what he calls casual Christians. They don't live lives impacted by their beliefs, minus the fact that they attend church a few times a year, Christmas, Easter, and maybe Mother's Day. Now, I'm not a math whiz, but 1/4 plus 2/3 equals about 90%. Friends, 9 out of 10 Americans need a fresh encounter with the good news of Jesus and His kingdom. We most certainly live in a mission field here in America. But I think if we're honest, then we have to admit that the picture is probably even a bit more dire. Of the 10% who live lives marked by the gospel, how do they do that? Are the 10% who attend church regularly and who take biblical stands on issues, are they on mission with Jesus? Are they willing to sacrifice their time, energy, and money for things that Jesus values? And are they willing to do it with other Christians? Or are they focused on themselves and or perhaps their immediate family unit? From my experience in the church during my 19-plus years of active ministry, I have seen that the good old 80-20 rule is in effect. 80% of what is important is done by 20% of the people. So just for argument's sake, let's say that the 80-20 rule holds true for people being on mission with Jesus. That means that just about 2% of Americans are the kind of people who are willing to follow Jesus actively in the real world, efforting to seek to join in with God in His work of reconciliation. In other words, there aren't many people who are missional. There aren't many folks who are out there trying to live the human life of Jesus in their human lives. And here's part of the reason why. It can be really lonely out there. Those of us who open our eyes to it, we see God at work in the world around us, and so we join in. But we often do so alone, each of us, as individuals, trying our best by ourselves to serve Jesus. And, naturally enough, this is lonely and difficult. And it's really easy to quit. Super easy. Trust me. I've quit more than I'd like to admit. And the more that we quit, the harder and harder it is to restart. And so it only makes sense that fewer and fewer of us are on mission with Jesus. It's lonely and difficult out there. So it's in this context that we need to discuss the importance of small groups when seeking to live for Jesus missionally. We need to keep in mind that there are tons of Americans who need a fresh dose of the gospel, and that there are just a few people willing to share it. But how do we do this? How do we seek to be on mission with Jesus within small groups? To begin with, we need to rethink our initial ideas about small groups. Now, lots of Christians are part of small groups, life groups, home groups, cell groups, transformation groups, connect groups, Bible studies, or any other groups that the church staff cooks up names for. But not many of these small groups encourage Christians to think outwardly. Think about this with me. Most churches say something like this in their foundational statements: A disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, has an upward relationship with God, an inward relationship with one another as community within the church, and an outward relationship with those in the world. But small groups very rarely do the latter, the outward relationship with the world. They tend to focus on relating well with God and having fun with one another and building community with one another. Very rarely do small groups have a normal rhythm of outward focus. Maybe once or twice a year, a small group might gather supplies for a school drive or deliver some canned goods to a local food bank. But in my experience, very, very few small groups have a consistent and meaningful outward focus. It appears then that the truth is that the very idea of a small group might hinder people from being on mission with Jesus. Why is this? Probably because most people, when they think of small groups, they think of Bible study, prayer, and fun. Now, don't get me wrong at all. Each of those things is great, vital even, to a follower of Jesus. But by and large, our Sunday services and Sunday school classes don't point people to being on mission with Jesus, and our small groups don't really do so either. So if we want to be more outwardly focused, perhaps we need to revision the way we think about, talk about, and do small groups. How do we do this? How can we rethink small groups? First, we have to make being on mission with Jesus the foundation that everything else is built on in our small groups. Why? Because if we have Bible study and prayer as the foundation, we will view being missional as an optional add-on. And if we make being community for one another the foundation, then being missional will infringe on our time together. So while obviously confessing that Jesus is Lord as the center of our small groups, our chief concern must be to be on mission with Jesus, who is our Lord. If we do this, if we make missionality foundational, then Bible study, prayer, and community time will take on new meaning. Instead of being ends in themselves, they will become fuel and support for the mission of our small groups. Our Bible study will remind us of God's love for everyone, His call for us to be a blessing to all people, all the nations, and His command to us to make disciples. And our prayer times together will be enriched with prayers that are born out of the crucible of mission together. We will have people to pray for, communities to pray for, transformation to pray for, etc. And our community time will be indispensable because being on mission is hard work, and being community for one another will help create the support that we need to do that hard work. In other words, in order to rethink our small groups, we must start by making the idea of being on mission with Jesus in the real world foundational. Second, we have to think about the rhythm of our small groups. Now, the normal rhythm of a small group is pretty unrhythmic. We simply meet together for prayer, Bible study, and fun. We do this every time. We might switch where we meet from time to time or who is leading the discussion, but in the end, the rhythm is the same. We hit the same notes, and we do it every time. What if we encouraged our small groups to shake things up a bit? A lot of missional practitioners, myself included, like to recommend something like this. We should focus on our relationship with God a couple times a month as a small group. We should focus on our community time once a month. And our mission, we should focus carefully on our mission together once a month. A good pattern could look like this. Our up relationship with God on week one, our in relationship with one another on week two, our up relationship with God again on week three, and our out relationships with others on week four. Having a rhythm like this has proven to be healthy and beneficial in the small group that I'm a part of currently. It also means that we're studying Scripture and praying together. And it always means that we're looking forward to building community with one another. And it always means that we're striving toward our mission together. Those things are always on our calendar. In fact, this sort of rhythm doesn't get dull very easily. The standard Bible study, prayer, and fun every time a small group meets rhythm does get dull. In my experience, most new small groups don't make it past the 9-month mark because the group gets bored with what they're doing. Just imagine if our small groups could love what they do, be impassioned by it, and draw others to Christ all the while. That would be amazing. Third, we have to think carefully about the goal of our small groups. Is our goal to disciple one another? That would be great. But for what purpose? Is our goal to build deep community? That's great too. But why? Is our goal to do life together? Well, firstly, what the heck does do life mean? And then, why would we want to do it? What would the purpose of it be? What if our goal was simply this? Our goal in our small groups is to make disciples who make disciples. What if that was the goal of our small groups? That would be simple to communicate. Whether or not a small group was working would be simple to discern because it would be growing as people became followers of Jesus. And this goal would give life to all three of the relationships we talked about earlier, our up relationship with God, our in relationship with one another, and our out relationship with others in the world. If our goal was to make disciples who make disciples, then the way our small groups pursued our relationships with God would be different. We'd spend less time arguing over trivial details and more time begging God to fill us up so that we can be poured out into others as we actively seek to make disciples. If our goal was to make disciples who make disciples, then the way our small groups developed community would be different. We'd spend less time fretting over making the perfect dish to take to the group or thinking of things to do that we all hold in common. Instead, we'd develop real familial love for one another as we support one another, pray for one another, and equip one another for our mission to make disciples who make disciples. And if our goal was to make disciples who make disciples, then our outwardly focused relationships would be different too. We'd spend less time offering charity to our neighbors and more time building relationships. We'd spend less time judging them and more time loving them. We'd develop presence and consistency as we had a regular rhythm of reaching into our communities to share and embody the good news of Jesus and His kingdom in whatever ways the Holy Spirit directed us. So when we start new small groups, let's do our best to make mission with Jesus foundational. And with our existing small groups, let's do the really hard work of seeking to move them to becoming more missional. Now, this is very difficult because groups tend to want to keep doing what they've always done, but it is possible and it is beneficial. I want to end by briefly telling the story of the small group that my wife and I are part of. Just over a year ago, we decided that we wanted to form a missional training community. So I asked some other staff members at our church to help us compile a list of folks who were positioned to be missional leaders within our church. We made a list of 6 people, and we contacted them. Shortly thereafter, the 8 of us began meeting. We started going through a book called The Tangible Kingdom Primer by Hugh Halter and Matt Smay. This book is designed to help small groups become more missional. And boy, did it work. Following the curriculum helped us understand together what it might look like to make mission with Jesus our foundation. We grew close together and delved deeply into the Word as we also learned and practiced missional postures and behaviors. In short, our little training group, which was designed to disperse back into the life of the wider church after the training was over, we fell in love with one another and with the mission that Jesus was turning us toward. We ended up adopting a neighborhood as our mission field and began prayer walking there and getting to know some of our neighbors. Now, each month, we have a block party with our neighbors. We also have times of Bible study and prayer and other times that are intended just for our small groups community building. We have begun to form a consistent missional rhythm. What have the results been? Well, our group has made 2 new followers of Jesus, both of whom are actively seeking to share and embody the good news of Jesus and His kingdom in their lives now as well. We've made lots of inroads with our neighbors, and we're looking forward to partnering with them as we, together, seek the welfare of our neighborhood. And we, as a small group, have really formed together into a family. We have genuine love for one another in a way that I've never experienced before in a small group. And for my wife and I, this love was shown to us very practically as we went through and continue to go through the adoption process of our son. So it's high time that we rethought small groups, making mission with Jesus foundational. Thanks so much for exploring the concept of small groups with me. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, then please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And also, check out my website, jmatthewbarnes.com. That's jaymatthewbarnes.com. And while you're there at my website, get a free 2-week devotional on 1 John that I've written called On Mission in 1 John. There should be a bar at the top of the screen where you can enter your email address so that you can be emailed a download link. Thanks so much for your time, grace, and peace.